appreciate you so much. I hope you get something from these services. If you want to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 27, I'm going to go here. I want to preach to the church this morning, to the church, about the church. And I love America. I am an American. And I know that I'm a Christian first. I believe that America has been ordained of God. I believe America was God's gift to the world. Now, you can say amen if you believe that. I really believe that. When you look at the history of America and her founding and the principles it was founded on, the miracles that God gave America to even be a nation, little old flourishing group of people that went against the greatest power and navy in the world, in Great Britain, and still won the battle, the Revolutionary War. And it's just divine providence. And and really, church, if you read the history of America, if you really read the pure history of America, the journals and diaries of our forefathers, it's like reading about a bunch of preachers. They had such convictions and a prayer life. Some they wrote about, I forget who was telling me, it might have been one of my boys that read a lot. I don't remember what they was talking about. A general, I think you may have heard of, was it you was telling me about a general that knew Stonewall Jackson personally? And he wrote a book or a journal about Jackson, and it was someone that knew him personally, and when they wrote the book about him and his convictions and his desire to see his soldiers saved and to know the Lord and the devotion that he had is just incredible, but here we are in America, and you know our political system is corrupt on every side of the aisle, and I hate to say it like that, and we don't really know what's going on, but we can look in the Bible and we can know what's going on. Amen. Now, what I want to preach to you today about is of course this week and reflecting, and I felt the Lord speak this to me, and of course, I could wait until tonight to preach. I'll preach something else tonight, but you know our lesson in Matthew 19, and very very critical lessons that we're involved in about the home and so on, and marital rules and laws, and so I'm just obeying the Lord and following Him in teaching those. But I felt like this morning breaking in here with this text. In this message, I want you to read with me in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. And I want to begin reading with verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. No sun, no stars in many days appeared. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Are you with me? You see the severity of this storm? We'll relate this storm, and I really believe the Lord put this occasion, this storm that Paul was in, to teach us many valuable lessons. And I think we can all relate. Now, Paul was shipwrecked more than one time, But this is a predominant storm, and it popped up right right after a promise that God made Paul. He said, "You're going to go to Rome and stand before Caesar." And this was the trip between the promise and the providential will of God. And here's a storm that arose that looks like is going to prevent Paul from reaching the fulfillment of his promise and the providence of God. And the Bible said that, you know, I mean, I can understand how they felt. No stars or sun. And really, when you read on in this scripture, it was 14 days and nights. 2 solid weeks had come and gone, and they hadn't saw the sun. Hadn't saw a star. Now, I want to preach about something here in a minute, but I want you to understand with me that in that day, you know, they didn't have computers, navigational systems. They controlled their destiny by the stars and so their navigation, their ability to control their destiny was out of their hand. They had already threw the tackling of the ship overboard, and I'm not a seaman, but I have a suspicion that the tackling of the ship was important. They had threw over everything that, at this point, they had threw everything but the wheat overboard. And now they are tossed in a tempest, and I've read accounts of people that go through hurricanes and tornadoes, and the tornado, they say the sound of that is like a train coming. That's the way they describe it. But the volume of it is 100,000 times more. And you can't hear as everything is flying everywhere. All you can hear is that roar. You can't hear a voice. You can't hear nothing crashing. It's just that roar of that wind in that funnel. Amen. And I want to tell us here this morning, we are in a deeper, darker place than humankind has ever known before. Are you with me? Now, that's where Paul is at this morning, and I want to relate that to you for the next few minutes here. Amen. But I want you to notice what happens next. And here is what I want to preach to my church. Here is the voice of the church in this storm. Amen. And notice what it said. Verse 21. This is after all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Are you in this church house this morning, and because of circumstance and the way life has brought to you, you feel like it is a hopeless cause? Amen. But let me read you. Look what happened in verse number 21. Are you there? But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. And he said, now I want you to get this. Here is a man. Here's a storm's been on for 14 days. The tempest, no small tempest is upon us. And he steps in the middle of 276 souls that was on board this ship. He steps in, and his voice is heard above the clamor of the storm they were in. Now listen to me. Look at what the first thing that the man of God had to say. And notice what he said. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs," here's what he said at first. He said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Now what this first voice, and I want to preach, my preaching this morning on is the voice in the storm. Amen. And you say, well, how can we hear anything concrete, amen, in the storm so loud and so forceful? Amen. I'll tell you how Paul's voice was heard. amen, because God, amen, gave him, amen, the amplified ability, amen, and I'm not talking about just vocal cords, amen, but God wanted, amen, them to hear the voice of Paul in this storm. Oh, I wish I could preach to you this morning. I'm going to preach on the voice in the storm. Amen. We need to hear this if we're going to survive. Amen. Because I feel, amen, all across the country where I've traveled, I feel a hopelessness, amen, and a surrender, amen, to the fact that our promise is not going to be achieved. The providence of God, amen, but God, you promised. What about this storm? Amen. Can I tell you, amen, it would do us to wait, amen, on the voice of God, amen, because it's not over yet. Amen. Somebody help me preach this morning. And I want you to notice what the voice of God said in this storm. The first thing he did, amen, was he convicted them. Amen, of their inability to listen to him before. And can I tell you, amen, that in the world we're in today, you know, the voice that America needs to hear, amen, they need to hear the voice, amen, of God say, you didn't listen to me, and that's why you're in this place that you're in right now. Amen, can I tell you, that's not the only thing, but that is the first thing, amen, that'll bring hope to this situation. Is to let us realize that sometimes a storm is brought upon our own doing. Amen. And you know why? I believe Paul mentioned this in the beginning. He was saying, I'm getting ready to give you some more instruction. You didn't listen before, but if we're going to get out of this alive, then you need to listen to me now. Amen. Could I tell you the answer for America in the storm we're in is to hear the voice of God in the storm once again, that calls us back to the obedience of the Word of God and back to the altar. Are you listening to me preach? Amen. There is a voice in the storm. Amen. Oh, stay with me now. It's a voice of conscience, a voice of conviction. Amen. You should have listened to me. This is what, hey, listen, church. This is the voice the church needs to proclaim above the storm. I'll tell you what, I think it's time the church found their voice again. I remember it's not been, what, 30 years ago in the political spectrum, the moral majority. How many's ever heard of that? The moral majority. I'm telling you, when a politician got to running for office, they tried to tiptoe the line about social issues because they knew if they got on the wrong side of these moral majority, they were going to probably lose the election. Are you listening to me? It's not there anymore. They could care less because they know that majority of Americans do not care about the social issue. Amen. Are you listening to me? I tell you, it's time, amen, for those in the church to rise up and let their voice be heard above the storm again. Are you listening to me preach? I know we're in a hopeless situation. I know people get discouraged and disgruntled and want to leave church and want to backslide and want to go to the world and do the things of the world. But brother, they need to hear. I tell you, it is that type of pleasure that has brought the storm in the lives of men and women now. What we need is not more of the same. We need to rise our voice up and say we need to get back to what thus saith the Word of God again. Amen. Oh, help me preach now. I tell you what. We need to hook up here this morning and pull the, amen, and pull the church out of this rut it's in here this morning. Hear me now. Oh, I want to preach to you. Give me 10, 12 more minutes, 15. I want to preach to you. The voice in the storm. Now that was just the first voice, first thing. Now I want you to notice what he said next. He said, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed and to have gained this harm and loss. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Are you with me? Now, brother, that don't sound even like it fits. Boy, I feel like preaching. You said them amens. Offered Brother Mark a quarter for an amen. He said he's going to get 50 cents worth. I don't know. Praise God. I'm already in debt to you. Amen. I want to preach to you a little. Amen. It seems a little odd. Amen. That right in the midst of a 14-day storm, water everywhere, they've then thrown everything overboard. It looks like their very life. Are you listening to me? He said, this is what he said. In the midst of the worst storm they'd ever seen in their life, he says, be of good cheer. Amen. Now listen, church, listen. I'm likening Paul to the church. Amen. Do you know what this world needs? They don't need another basket case like they are. Amen. To go out and say, hey, that's right, we're doomed. Amen. We're not going to survive. They need to hear the voice of the church. Amen. And look, he had a different disposition than everybody else on board. He was a prisoner to begin with, and now he's the pilot. Are you listening to me? I want to tell you, the church has been ignored, amen, for many years in America, but it's time they heard the voice of the church again. And here's what Paul said. He said, be of good cheer. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Cheer up. Amen. Be encouraged. He didn't say, let's have a go to Comedy Barn and listen to Jerry Clower. That ain't what he's talking about. Amen. He's saying, get a confidence in you. Amen. And let you know, amen, that everything's not lost. Are you listening to me preach? Amen. He said, be of good cheer. The voice of the church, amen, needs to proclaim to this lost and dying world. Amen. It's have courage. Amen. How could he say that? Let's listen to what he said. For I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Woo! Oh, somebody say amen. Now, brother, I like that. I like that. I love it. Praise God, when you get in a pinch, brother, whether it's on a job, amen, Brother Ed, and people wonder what they're going to do, and somebody that knows what's going on steps up and says, just chill out. Don't be alarmed. This is going to work out fine. Woo, does that help you? Amen, to hear that voice, amen, above the wind, above the rain, amen, and it looks like we're going to die any moment, amen, to hear the Lord say, Sister Connie, listen to me now. I know the waves are beating against you and you can't hear nothing but the storm, but I want you to hear this voice of the man of God, the voice of the church, and that voice is saying, be of good cheer, amen, for there's not anybody going to die. You're going to live. You mean I'm going to survive? You're going to survive. You're going to lose the wheat. You're going to lose the ship, but you're going to be alive. Every last one of you are going to be saved. Nobody's going to perish in this storm. Are you listening to me? I think the church needs to give a voice of hope to this lost and dying world. Y'all not with me yet, are you? Now listen to what he said. Not only was it a voice of confidence, it was a voice of divine revelation. Because look what he said next. He said this, and this is what I love this. He said, amen. Are you reading? If I quote it, help me. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Woo! Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, I know where I'm at. Brother, there's heartache everywhere you look. There's a sick body, there's a pain, there's a depression, there's an oppression. There's a battle, there's a financial struggle, there's a disappointment everywhere you look. You think Paul didn't see some fear? You think he didn't see some hopelessness? You think he didn't see some weak faith? You think he didn't? Oh, yes, he did. Amen. But I'll tell you what made a difference in him. It said after long abstinence. Do you know what that meant when he said after long abstinence? Paul had withdrew himself from the crowd and found him a private place somewhere, probably in the hold of the ship. probably down there, amen, where he had been chained and left in the musty darkness, amen, and he turned that dungeon, amen, into divinity. Are you listening to me? Woo! Come on now! I tell you, our church has been through it before. I've been here going on 30 years. We've had one trial after another trial, and some of the most horrendous things we've been through that no other church probably that I've ever heard of has been through. Are you listening to me? But in the midst of that, Sister Helen, there's still a place of prayer. Amen. Where saints of God go. Amen. Help me now. Amen, Brother Ed. No matter how, amen, much pressure gets on us, there is a place to go in the hold of the ship where we can get divine revelation. And brother, if God says you're going to be okay, then you're going to be okay. And God told Paul, amen, I'm going to give you every soul on board the ship. Amen. Come on now. That's why, amen, the church can step out and say we're going to be all right. Amen. For if God be for us, who can be against us? Woo! I'll tell you what, a layoff will do, Brother Ray. It'll put you not only in the unemployment office, it'll put you on your knees in a place of prayer. I'll tell you what, a bad back, a fractured vertebrae will do. It'll not only put you in the sick room, it'll put you in the prayer room. And I'll tell you what's going to happen when the church binds together and finds a place of prayer. They're going to get a divine revelation, and God's going to say, amen. Tell my people that they're going to be all right. Somebody say praise the Lord. Woo! There's a voice of divine revelation. What did he say next? Boy, I feel good this morning. He said, the angel of the Lord stood by me this night, whose I am and whom I serve. I belong to him and I serve him. Woo. Huh? You've heard me tell it over and over. I miss my little sister. Well, she was a good girl. She was. Y'all that knew her very well knew she was true blue. She backed me to the nth degree. And she told me over and over, and on my birthday when they would do the birthday thing, she'd write in my card, put money in there, and she'd write in there. She said, I love you as my brother. I honor you. Treated me and supported. Are you listening to me? Amen. I'm preaching here, amen, about the voice of God. Amen. Listen. And the angel of the Lord stood by me. She used to call me every day. She'd call me when we went through this horrendous trial these last 10 or 11 years. And she would call me every day. And man, it was never, oh, I feel bad. Oh, I've hurt so bad. Now there was times for that. But she'd call me and she'd say, Randy, you listen to what I read this morning. And she'd read me a verse. And this is what she'd say, Sister Helen, just about every time. She'd say, Randy, you belong to God. And you're going to make it. Boy, there was days I thought, sis, she just don't know how bad it is. But she was right. Huh? You know what Paul was saying in that storm? He was saying, I belong to God. Huh? And I serve God. Amen. Y'all still with me, aren't you? And now look at this. Look at this right here. And he said, and this is what the angel said to him. He said, fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Y'all with me? Read that with me right there. The next. For I believe God. Did you hear me? Paul said, be of good cheer, for this is what God told me. And I believe God. It was a voice of faith. Do you think, now listen to me. Don't be a hurt at me if you think I'm being, trying to. I'm talking about the world and nation as a whole. Not any individual. I'm just telling you how the way our world is going. And I'm going to tell you something. With the mentality and the culture that we live in, and this pleasure-crazy, self-centered world, and with the establishment of the government that we have, and the spending and borrowing and high taxes, it's inevitable that our country is headed for the rocks. There's no other way around it. Amen. So I'm preaching this to my church this morning. In the midst of this storm, the church has got to find its voice. And it's got to proclaim their voice above the dashing of the storm. Amen. And if we'll do that, this church will be full. I've heard people say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen the next 4 years. I tell you what could happen the next 4 years. We could fill this church up. How many is with me here this morning? Huh? Am I preaching right or not? And here's what Paul said in the midst of that storm. And here's what it is. And a lot of times it seems I've raised my kids, and sometimes they get in situations that look horrible for them, impossible for them, and it looks like my advice to them is kind of, cookie cutter cut of what a preacher's supposed to say. But really, my advice to them is we've got to believe God. I talk to our young people that, really, when it's a natural thing for them to grow up and a girl to get liking boys and boys liking girls. And y'all have heard me tell Kenzie hates for me to mention her name in the pulpit. But when she was about 10 years old, she asked me going down the road one day. She said, Daddy, can I ask you something and you not get mad? And I wasn't sure, but I said yes. She said, what exactly do you think's wrong with boys anyway? And I knew when she said that I was in trouble. You know what I told her, don't you? I said, they everyone have cooties, and you stay away from them. How many think she bought that? Huh? Can you tell sometimes that she hadn't bought that? Huh? But I'll tell you what, they grow up, and really, they're wanting to find a boy, a man's wanting to find a young lady that'll be his forever and be faithful and have somebody to hold and lean on and share their life with. It's just a natural thing. Amen. But they get all nervous. When they see divorces and broken homes, they get scared and they say, how can we find somebody we can trust? And how do you know they're really true blue and all of this? And I'll tell you, I'll go back to this right here. In the midst of the storm, you need to hear the voice of God and believe what you hear. Amen. I'll tell these young people, if you're going, hey, believe God. Have faith that God can work all that out in your favor. Are you listening to me? And believe God. Amen. Raise a sail. Believe God and go for it. That's what life is all about. Are you listening to me? I want to say in the middle of this adulterous, cheating, lying, evil world. Amen. I'm saying above the storms, there's a voice of faith that says, I'm going to take care of you, and you can believe me because my promises are yea and amen. Am I preaching right or not? The voice in the storm. It's time the church found their voice. And then last, I want to mention this. He said, I believe God. That it shall be even as it was told me. Verse 26, he said, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Amen. Now that is practical direction. God's going to deliver us, but here's what you can expect next. We're going to be cast on a certain island. Now you know the rest of this storm. And Paul said some other things in here that are critical, but I'm going to quit here for the sake of time. Amen. But I believe God has a plan. And it was just like they said. It wasn't no time till that's the next day, wasn't it? They cast those anchors and wished for the day, and they sounded, and sure enough, just like the man of God said, they were getting close to a land. They sounded, they dropped down, land. They moved on a little closer, dropped again, so many fathoms. What that was telling them, we're getting closer, just like the man of God said, just like the word of God said. How many knows the Bible is true? If the world lies, the Bible is true. If we're wrong, the Bible's still right. Am I telling you right or not? Now, I don't know what exactly is going to happen in the next few years. I don't know how long we've got to live. I don't know. But I'll tell you what we as a church need to do, and I'm closing. But we need to find our voice. That voice of conviction, that voice of cheer, that voice of confidence, that voice of divine revelation. Amen. That voice of faith. That voice of practical action. And we need to get with it. Now listen. If every one of us individually just row our own boat, our voice is not going to be heard. The only way the voice of the church is heard is when it's unified and it rises above the clamor of the storm. Amen. Can you say amen? Won't you stand with me? God bless you.